Bridgeport, Connecticut was a center of industry in this country at the turn of the 20th century. Some 500 factories made products that were sold worldwide, everything from sewing machines to ammunition to lingerie. But the city's status as an industrial powerhouse faded when the factories eventually moved out. WSHU's Davis Donovan visited one of the last of Bridgeport's old factory buildings, where thousands of women assembled a special type of corset.
Michael Villani looks after this old abandoned factory for a New York developer. It takes up two city blocks, and it's locked behind chain-link fences. Once inside the gate, we stand around piles of strewn bricks, broken glass, and lots of muddy puddles. The building itself has seen better days. It hasn't been occupied since the 1970s.
It is in bad shape. It's just rotted from years and years and years of neglect. It's pretty dirty. I did tell you to wear boots, but we'll go in.
Villani leads us into the factory. Paint is peeling off the damp walls. There's no electricity, so it's pretty dark, even in daylight. We make our way with the lights from our cell phones.
Be careful right here. Why don't we go up these stairs?
We also brought along Bridgeport historian Eric Lehman. This is Lehman's first time inside the factory. He looks at the high ceilings and large open space of the third floor at the top of the factory. Lehman says more than 100 years ago, this room was filled with mostly immigrant women making corsets.
We would have seen rows of women at these small desks with sewing equipment. And many of these women were in here for 12 hours a day at least.
Corsets were an essential part of many women's wardrobes in the 1800s, but they weren't exactly comfortable. They were made with steel and bone.
And these corsets were quite dangerous. They could break your ribs, they were moving your organs around, deadening your nerves.
Two doctors were concerned about what these corsets were doing to women's bodies. So brothers Lucian and Ira Warner designed a flexible corset made of plant fibers. It allowed women to move and breathe. The corsets were so successful that in the late 1870s, the brothers decided to build this factory in Bridgeport to mass produce them. Historian Eric Lehman says the corsets were a hit.
The Warner Brothers changed the industry. People still made the steel and bone corsets, but they quickly became the most popular corset in the world.
Many of the women who made those corsets lived across the street at a place called the Seaside Institute. The Warner Brothers built it to provide free rooms for their female workers. Today, it's a private prep school. The Bridgeport International Academy was founded by Nora Spurgeon. Spurgeon says she's proud of the building's history. She says the women not only lived here, they were educated here.
This was very unusual, and it merited the president's wife coming to open it.
President Grover Cleveland's wife, Frances, dedicated the building. Spurgeon says the first lady saw the Warner Brothers factory as an example for how companies should treat their workers. Spurgeon says she feels the history every day.
I think, especially as a woman, the fact that these girls were working over in the factory and somebody was caring enough to give them an education, that is such an incredible thing.
It was also self-interested in the sense that they were sort of controlling the full day of these women's lives.
That's historian Eric Lehman again. Lehman believes the women were mandated to take classes after their 12-hour workday, and this way the Warner Brothers thought they could secure their workforce. They worried the women would find husbands and leave their jobs. Lehman says the Warner Brothers did give these immigrant women an education, though, in subjects like English and civics.
Perhaps it backfired on them when they learned how to strike later on.
More than 1,000 women went on strike at the factory in 1915. They won an 8-hour workday and a pay raise. Soon, corsets would go out of fashion, and the Warners went on to make another undergarment, the brassiere. But eventually, the company took the factory overseas, and one more abandoned building was born in Bridgeport. The factory's fate is a major concern for Michael Villani, who watches over the property. The original plan was to save the oldest part of the factory, but that's just not possible anymore.
It's very expensive to renovate a building like this. It would be more money to actually fix it up than to build something new.
If this were Brooklyn, Villani says, maybe you could turn it into a place for artists or hipsters. But this is Bridgeport, and there's as much demand for fixing up abandoned factories as there is for corsets. The owner of the property has the go-ahead to put up almost 350 apartments. And to make way for them, Villani says, the part of the factory where the women made the corsets will soon come down. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Our story was produced by Cassandra Basler, Ann Lopez, and Katie Toth.